We live in a media milieu that emphasises groups, Facebook groups, communities on WhatsApp, and of course the ads that reflect a desirable life back to us to sell us products that are going to be desirable for that desirable life. And they all have lots of people in them, or at least couples. We're shown that all the time. But many adult New Zealanders live alone, more than 350,000 at the last official count. The number is going steadily up, somewhere between 10 and 15% of Pākehā, but also Māori at 10%. If you're from one of the Asian or Pacific countries, your likelihood of living by yourself is small, less than half that. The median age is 62 years for people with solo lives, which would seem to reflect mortality levels, but also now maybe reflects another trend. Women live alone now more than men, and while thousands of them won't want to, a good percentage do. While the institution of marriage seems solid and the overall divorce rate is down, it's going up among older people. And that's especially pronounced in the US and the UK. Silver splitting is a big trend, despite the financial hardships it often brings. 20 years ago, fewer than 8% of divorces were from marriages of more than 30 years standing. Now it's more like 12%. In the UK, the number of over 60s divorcing has increased by more than a third in 10 years. And in the US, nearly a quarter of the people going through divorce are over 50. Sharon Hyman is a Montreal filmmaker, and she's interviewed hundreds of couples for an upcoming documentary called Our Partners, Living Happily Ever Apart. Good morning, Sharon.
Greetings from Montreal, Canada.
Nice to have you on. What gave you the idea for the doco in the first place, can I ask?
Well, the idea was that I have been in a partnership. I call it a partnership. It's the word I came up with. Partners who are in committed relationships. So a partner. And yep. I have been in a partner myself for 20 years now. So I started to do research, and lo and behold, there's this whole world of partners that are we're still in the closet, but yet it's quite common.
Yeah, which is fascinating. You're right. Our partners are much more numerous now, seemingly. There are different kinds, though, aren't there? There are the ones who kind of enter into those relationships at a middle age or even early, and there are the ones who split up, including the late splitters, Sharon.
Well, how it usually works is that younger partners are usually by circumstance. Usually it's because they don't have the money to move out, or they're still living with their parents, they're finishing school, you know, or thinking about what their career is going to be. But by the time you get to the older partners, those tend to be people who are more lifestyle-oriented. This is what works for them. Many of them have already been married. They've cohabited before. They have their children. They have their established family units. They don't really want to introduce anybody else into it. But the older ones tend to be more by choice and lifestyle, and the younger ones more by circumstance.
What are the benefits of being a partner, including for you? What's the attraction?
I mean, for me, I feel like I have the best of both worlds. I'm in a very committed relationship. We're about to have our 21st anniversary.
Wow.
We are there for each other, sickness and health. He's 15 minutes away, so I know he's always there if I need him, and we care for one another. We have the intimacy and the communication and the caring and the love and all that stuff, but I also have time on my own, and I also have my own life. So, you know, I have aging parents that I have more time to take care of. I have other relationships, friendships, my work. Some people just really enjoy solitude and being alone, and I'm one of them.
Mm.
Some people don't. This isn't for everybody, that's for sure. But I always lived on my own and enjoyed living on my own, and when I met David, that didn't change. I still enjoyed being on my own, and he's somebody who enjoys being on his own, so it really worked out well. This is really interesting because, you know, in society, they always present, you know, in Hollywood movies and whatnot, that it always seems like it's the woman who wants to settle down, and the man in a heterosexual relationship seems to be footloose and fancy free, and it's hard to pin him down, and he's the one who doesn't want to be committed or be married. And from my research, I mean, I've been doing research for the film now for several years, vast majority of women are the ones who are attracted to this way of living, and men are very resistant. So
okay.
It's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
So why are men resistant? Is it only traditionally minded men with patriarchal sorts of attitudes?
No, it's actually not. We have a group, we have an online group now on Facebook, and I did post and I said, you know, fellas in the group, can you please tell me, like, why are you resistant to the idea? And for the most part, for them, they just feel that real relationship, quote unquote real, means that you're together and you're in the same home, you know, and the ones who now enjoy being a partner, it was usually the female who initiated it. But now they enjoy it. Now they see the perks.
It's not women wanting to do without men,
still talking about
heterosexual relationships. It's not women wanting to do without men, but it is seemingly a substantial revision of the relationship paradigm, isn't it?
It is. And I think that, I mean, maybe we're catching up now because, you know, younger men, there's more equality in the home and, you know, there's more of division of labor and people are, it's more equal in terms of, say, our parents' generation or our grandparents' generation. You know, younger men now are, you know, they're more nurturing and they're doing the child rearing and they're doing the chores and all that. So maybe another reason why the older women that you referred to before who do not want to live with their spouse, they're more from that generation where, you know, most of the chores, you know, they were expected to do everything. So they sort of got the shorter end of the stick in marriage. And even now studies show that women still, even with the younger people, women still do more than their fair share of chores in the home. So for them, living together is less of an advantage than it is for men.
You've alluded to it with your own situation. You're there for David in sickness and in health. But of course, people worry about flying solo. They think it's fine as long as I've got good health. What happens when I lose that or when a partner develops a serious condition that I have to be involved in, etc.?
Yeah, I actually had a serious condition, and so David had to stay with me for about 8 months. And then there's been times where he had surgery and I stayed with him. So I always say that it's a fluid concept. And what I'm trying to show, I guess by example, though I wasn't at the time, it just evolved this way, is that there's options for relationships. If I could tell you how many people have said to me since I've interviewed them for this film, had I known this was an option, I would still be married. We wouldn't be divorced.
Okay. Yeah, that is fascinating because divorce is hard, especially when you're older, and splitting assets is a problem. And poverty keeps people together too, doesn't it?
Sadly, yes.
Children immediately spring to mind when you start talking about that, though. That is another paramount reason for all living under the same roof.
Yes.
So do you tend to, or do our partners tend to wait until the children have left the nest?
Ideally, yes, that if you're going to be raising children that you have together, it would be ideal under one roof. But if it doesn't work, I mean, it's better than being divorced.
So the children, I mean, the kind of half and half arrangement. So you and the children might spend 3 nights at your place and 4 nights at his, or, you know, 4 nights by yourself. That kind of arrangement, as you say, this is a modern world and all sorts of arrangements pertain, but that kind of arrangement works out for people?
Most people who have children who are partners have it from a previous relationship. So they keep their home intact, the kids are in their home, and, you know, I could think of one couple that a partner comes over every night and does the homework with the kids, has dinner with them, and then he goes home.
We're talking with Sharon Hyman, the Montreal filmmaker. Can you do it? And this is an important question because more and more people are living alone and there are more and more divorces among older people. And you've just hinted at this earlier. Could this be a good substitute for later life divorce?
But this is sort of the opposite. This is we're still romantically involved. We love each other. We just don't want to have the same address.
Could it be a substitute, though, for people who say, I'm sick of you and I don't want you irritate me too much after 40 years and I don't really want to be around you all the time, but I'm still very fond of you, and let's just split up and see how that works. We'll still have the same kind of bonds or similar bonds, but we just won't live together.
As a matter of fact, one of my favorite people that I've interviewed for my film was married. They've been married now for 55 years, and they had their children together. They lived together in Montreal, and after about 50 years of marriage, they were headed for divorce. And then she realized one day, oh, it's not that I don't love you anymore. It's just I want to have my own space. And so her husband was very resistant. These are older people in their 80s.
Wow.
And they'd lived together for 50 years, and he was very resistant. But she said she found her own little apartment, and he stayed in the home, and their marriage has never been better. She reports back to me. She said this completely saved their marriage. They're more in love now than they were for years.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. Something else has occurred to me as I talk to you, though, and that's, let's assume that you've got two middle-aged people who are partners, and they're both working. One advantage of living together is that you can pool your financial resources and afford to live in a decent place. Two single people might not be able to be as financially agile living apart.
Yes. Well, again, it's a matter of priorities and what your choices are in life. David and I both have never owned any property. We've both lived in very modest apartments. I don't even have a car. You know, I never had those luxuries, we could call them, of life.
Mm.
But for me, the greatest luxury is time alone and my solitude. The time to spend with myself and to spend with my family, my parents, with, you know, friends, and just with my work and just with my thoughts. But I want to make something clear. I'm not advocating this for everybody at all. I'm just trying to show that options exist.
Yeah.
And that there's no cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all way to have a relationship. And I think that once people are aware of that, it's very liberating, because they don't feel that, okay, this is the way, like I said, the trajectory for love. Okay, we met, we fell in love, we're in a relationship. Now we have to move in together. So many people tell me it was as soon as they moved in together that the relationship started to go downhill.
Yes, I shouldn't laugh, but I mean, I've heard that before as well.
You know, I don't think that our relationship, you know, taking out of it the equation of having to worry about did he do the dishes and, you know, why are his socks on the floor? Like, I don't think that would add a lot to our relationship. Does that really add a lot to your relationship, having to, like, squabble about purchases and laundry?
I think it's a well-known fact that socks naturally wriggle independently towards the floor.
And they also don't, and they also aren't a partner. They're a partners, actually, because they lose each other somehow in the rinse cycle.
It's said that a downside of relationships for men, cohabiting relationships, is that they let their friends go, and women are far better with social networks. I think there is a certain amount of truth to all of that. So with the couples, with the partner couples you talk to, do the men find it easier then to broaden their own social networks and make more friends themselves, the way that women are traditionally more adept at?
That's such a great question. The men that I've spoken to, they will say that for them, they have more time to do their hobbies, they have more time to spend with other people. As for are they making more friends, I don't know about that. But I think that it's an excellent question, and it also speaks to why women are more attracted to this way of living than men, because women tend to have broader circles. It's more that they have time to work on their hobbies.
Right, okay.
And on their passions, woodworking or whatever their thing is on the side.
What has making this documentary suggested to you about the institution of marriage itself and the ways adults might be cohabiting in 20, 30 years' time?
You know, it seems to me that we've weathered a storm, that now that women feel that they do have more freedom of choice in life, that if this is one of the choices, I think that's a pretty consistent desire that people, some people have to partner, and some people will choose to do it in the same home, and others will say, no, I won't, but at least now they have the option. I guess the best part of this is that we've created this whole online community, and your listeners are welcome to find us online and join us. But it's very interesting in that people are meeting other like-minded people who they all had thought, I'm the only one living like this, and nobody understands, and everybody questions us, and they're feeling validated now. I never really understood why you would have to share necessarily physical space to share emotional space. And that's something that we're told a lot. Like, well, you can't really be that close and that intimate. But for me, I don't really see it that way. Like, why? I don't really see what that would add to it. Like I was mentioning before, you know, if you have the important elements of a relationship, the communication and the intimacy and the closeness and the support, if anything, for me, having time apart, I feel, makes me a better spouse. You know, I get so many trolls. Like, whenever I do an interview, the comments, you know, I really get heavily trolled. You know, the first one I always get is, well, you're not really a relationship. It's, you're friends with benefits.
Yeah.
So I'm actually somebody who actually answers the trolls. Don't ask me why. I don't know why, but I'll say, well, it's been 21 years, so those are some benefits, you know. But this one guy wrote to me privately, and he said, Sharon, I just want to let you know you are totally onto something. I'm just coming out of, you know, I was widowed. I was in a relationship for 35 years. For 35 years, the most I ever did at home was lift my feet so she could vacuum underneath them. And now that I'm in a new relationship and we're partners, I actually have to learn how to be present and communicate and bring something into the relationship. And he said, you are onto something, because this relationship is completely different than my marriage. It just made me laugh that he was saying that. It was so honest of him. And he's going to be in my film, because he's coming to Montreal, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to film you. You're great.
Great to talk. Hey, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much.